word on greeting you. So we've had Mother's Day comments here. So we've all had grandmothers. I believe everybody in this room. I'm gonna do the quick math, and do the genetics, and I'm gonna say everybody here has had a grandmother. All right. So as far as grandmothers go, grandmother was seated next to this fella on a flight. So for about 2 hours, she regaled him with stories of her grandkids. You know, the little thing in her wallet that fall down like this. 9 grandkids. So them, I don't know. Must have been 80 pictures, and she goes on and on, telling this fella about all. And he is very polite because he realizes it's important to her. So finally, after about 2 hours in this flight, she says, "You know, I've been dominating this whole conversation. Surely there must be something you want to say. So tell me, what do you think of my grandchildren?" So, okay. But hey, grandmothers, give it up. They're wonderful, and they think the best of us, and we need that. So that was a key word that happened a couple times in the songs. In the last two songs, it occurred. Actually, it was in the title of one of the songs. And then the last song, it was towards the very end of the chorus. Anybody want to guess what that was? "I See You, Ma'am." Try it out. Channels, yes. Gabe, give her the prize. Channels, that's the word today. Channels. Great, thank you. And the song was titled Channels Only. Channels Only. But for the sake of what I want to share with you today, my challenge is I'm going to turn those words around. Instead of channels only, I want to put before you only channels. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is going to talk to his apostles today, and he's going to tell them to do something that is impossible. You can't do it. But only channels can do it. So that's the thought I want to leave with you, a challenge. I'm not going to tell you how to do it or figure out all the intricacies of how to make this happen. I'm going to point you to one verse, and then in the daily course of your life, you just need to pray. You need to talk. It's the relationship, the living relationship you have with Christ that works out these individual circumstances to where you place yourself as a channel, because otherwise you can't do this. So if you have your Bibles, or if you don't, go ahead. We're going to turn to John chapter 13. And by the way, how do you like the way we changed the flow of the schedule of the topics? Because who wants to talk about Judas' betrayal on Mother's Day? So we took that into effect, and we said, we're going to change this around. Aren't we something? Okay, well, there you go. And I apologize for that bit of a lie, however. But it's just a better deal. Okay, so last week, Gilbert ended his message, a very great application about what foot washing looks like today. Not the literal foot washing, but the application. How do we wash each other's feet in the figurative manner? And how does it look in your life in the next week? And I don't know if any of you have checked in with him. He said, "I'd like to hear how it was for you this week washing someone's feet." So I have a story on that I'd like to share with you, and I got permission from the person. So, as you know, tacos are a big thing in my life, especially on Sunday. And so we've had this ongoing kind of date with a couple of people here, and so I usually ask whenever I see him and the other two, I say, "Hey, how about tacos today?" He says, "Oh, you know what, maybe not today, another time, but sure, you know, it's always open, and we're good, no problem." He said, I got this Blazer playoff game that's on today, and you know, it's a big game." I said, no worries, man, just we'll do tacos. We've been eating tacos for 20 years, right? We'll eat them again well, he's going to go to the age of 102, so he's got about 15 more years to go. So I told Gene Pankinen, I told Gene, "Don't worry about it. We'll share that time again. No worries." So then, to be continued. So stay with me. I'll finish the story up. We'll land it later. Okay, John chapter 13. And I want to read verses 31 to 38. But I want to tell you there's a lot here, and we don't have a lot of time. So I'm just going to camp out pretty much on verses 34 and 35, okay? Just leave you with one major thought. So if you want to join me, I'm going to read verses 31 through 38, John chapter 13. And when he was gone, he referring to Judas, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, then God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Simon Peter asked, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." So quickly, just want to lay the story here. Some things are going on. It's Passover. The crucifixion is imminent. We're looking at within 2 or 3 days here. So they reserve the room. They go up to the room. Jesus washes their feet. Gilbert explained last week how mystifying and how strange that looked to these 12 men. This really has their minds going. And then Peter, of course, he jumps in and kind of blurts out what he thinks about the whole issue. So already they're a little off balance, a little off kilter. Then, on top of that, after he's done washing their feet, then, just to add a little bit more confusion to things, then Jesus predicts his betrayal at the hands of one of these men in the room. So already they just saw the master washing their feet. Now he predicts his betrayal at one of their hands, and now their heads are spinning and they're asking each other questions. They're looking around, and who knows how that looks. Then the next thing, he announces his departure from them. Where I'm going, you cannot come. And then last of all, in the midst of all this, now just imagine if you're there, you've been with this man for 3 years, and you've seen him do amazing stuff, and you think he's going to restore the kingdom to Israel and knock the Romans out. So your hopes are on this. It's coming to a culmination here. But then he says, he washes our feet and tells us we should do that. Then he announces his betrayal at the hands of one of these men. Then he announces his departure and they can't come with him. And then he says, "I give you a new command." Whoa, what do you think they're thinking? "I give you a new command. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. All men will know you are my disciples if you love one another." And in the midst of all this, they're thinking, you just said you're going somewhere. And do you think they're really following this? I don't think so, because I'm using Peter as the tip of the iceberg. In the midst of all this, Peter's going to say something that doesn't make any sense. Well, it does make sense if he was following Christ's words and listening to him. Because in verse 36, after Jesus told them to love one another, then he says, Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" I mean, where's the thought? He was listening to something here. Jesus says something here, and he says something that pertains to what it doesn't follow. Because I really sense that these men are shaking. They're troubled. Their minds are scattered. They're trying to get a hold of things. It's as though they've been in an earthquake, and things are kind of falling around them that shouldn't be falling, and this is not natural. This is not the way it's supposed to be happening. What's important to Peter and the rest of them is, where are you going? Why can't we come with you? Not what Jesus said, which was important, actually, for all of us. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Well, I don't mean to pick on Peter, because I'd be right there with him. I'd feel the same way. I'd be really troubled, because all my eggs are in this basket called Jesus Christ. And it sounds like they're all cracked now. And I don't feel good about this. I need to know, what can we do to save this day? It's not turning out the way I want it to. So we're going to continue that thought. But for right now, I want to do a comparison. Because all the Gospels have something going on during this very time that we are reading today. This time with Jesus in the upper room, they're having the Passover. And all four of the Gospels talk about Jesus now bringing in the new covenant. And the new covenant as compared to the old covenant. So can I do that real quick with you? Just do a little comparison or a contrast. The old covenant, remember Moses brought it in. So there's Moses as the main player. The people he's talking to are the Israelites, maybe 4 million plus, as book of Exodus. Book of Deuteronomy again is the second time. And then he says something later on in Deuteronomy that Jesus is going to say to these people. Now, we're having the new covenant in the New Testament being brought in by Jesus during the Passover. And, you know, he tells them, this is the cup of the new covenant, the blood, right? My body given for you. And he's going to say something to them that Moses said to them, and Joshua repeated. And you know what? After all this goodness of bringing in the new covenant and the old covenant and all these promises, you remember what Moses told these people after he gives them the old covenant? I'm going to read something really quick. After the whole book of Deuteronomy is basically the giving over of the law a second time before they enter the promised land. And after he spells out the blessings and the curses, this is the good news that Moses is leaving the people with after they've received the law. The Lord said to Moses, "Now the day of your death is near. Call Joshua and present yourselves at the tent of meeting where I will commission him." Then the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting in the pillar, and the cloud stood over the entrance. The Lord said to Moses, "You are going to rest with your fathers, and these people will soon prostitute themselves to the foreign gods of the land they are entering. They will forsake me and break the covenant which I made with them. On that day I will become angry with them and forsake them. I will hide my face from them, and they will be destroyed. Many disasters and difficulties will come upon them, and on that day they will ask, 'Have not these disasters come upon us because our God is not with us?' I will hide my face because of their wickedness." Basically, he gives them the law, and then God says, "You can't do this." Now, I'm not going to say that's what God said. We'll let Joshua say it. And this is very plainly speaking on the part of Joshua, as he is now giving the same words to these people. Okay, Joshua 24, and my Bible kind of says what this chapter is about. It's about the covenant being renewed. So he gives them the covenant again. And it's really simple. Joshua, just after he gives them the whole covenant and tells them what the deal is, right? Verse 19, Joshua 24, he says to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord." Basically, that's it. You can't do this. You can't. It's just all there. And both times when Moses handed the law to them and when Joshua renewed it, they said, "We will serve the Lord. We will do this. We can do this. Whatever the Lord says, we will do." God says to them, "You can't do this. You can't do this." And after Jesus gives these people the new commandment, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." You think that's easy? You're supposed to love me the way Jesus loves you? Can you do that? You think that's easy? Jesus says, "You can't do this." But only channels can do this. I'm going to peek ahead, and I'm going to share one verse with you that I want to combine. John chapter 15, verse 5. And I've spoken on this before. "I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit." That's good. See that? That's it. "But apart from me, you can do nothing." Apart from Jesus, you can't do this. You cannot do this. That's why, thank you for picking these songs. Only channels can do this. Channels are connected. Have you seen the Multnomah Slough? I understand it takes like 18 days for water to go from the headwaters of Fairview Creek all the way back to the Willamette River. And by the time it gets there, it's pretty bad water. It's not really a channel flowing. Whereas you go to an ocean area where you have channels that are in between islands, and you see that water that's rushing through there, it's fresh and it's clean and it's alive and it's full of life and it's moving and it's good water. It's a channel, not a pond of scum water and bacteria where it says no fishing. It's not living water. We can't do this. Do you feel sometimes frustrated? Am I the only guy who feels frustrated about having a sense that the Christian life is kind of unattainable and it's really hard to love you people? Am I the only guy who feels that? Well, it should be, because I think I'm not in Christ. I'm not a channel. And so I have to remind myself, and I'm reminding you, that you can't do this. You cannot do this. If you think you can, you're fooling yourself, and you're setting yourself up for a really frustrating life, maybe gritting your teeth and trying to do something that you can't do. Christ told you how it's done. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, you bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So don't be surprised if you're feeling and you're sensing that your life is not very fruitful, and you can't love the way Christ loves you. You shouldn't. You can't. It's. Joshua told these people, Moses told these people, the whole nation, you can't do this. Well, now some got it. Some, you know, Caleb got it figured out. Joshua did. Isaiah did. David did. Nehemiah did. There's lots of them that figured this out. They went with the connection to Jehovah. They figured it out. But apart from that, it's going to be really frustrating for all of us if we try and do this apart from him. Now, Romans 3:23 really illustrates that. And I'm going to have my accomplice, Mr. Richard Fuller, the first. He is going to... I've done this illustration. I think I just did it at the Good News Club, didn't I? It was kind of cool. It's, and right there is good. So, Romans... The Balloon Man, Dick Fuller, Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay, and that word sin is, I looked it up. I want to make sure that I'm not getting up here and talking a bunch of hooey, but I actually went on an archery website, and somebody, I guess a believer who was in the archery website, said, I heard that this word sin is an archery term. Is that correct? And a bunch of people chimed in, and they said, yeah. Actually, it is going way back. And Dick, you may want to check this out. It actually goes back I'll start with the Greeks first. It was for them too. It's where they missed the target. But in Hebrew, the verb talks about, it's an archery term. And by the way, with the Greeks, it's throwing a spear. With a Hebrew, it was archery, but it was missing the gold circle in the target, the bullseye. And we've all missed the bullseye. We've all missed the target. So here it is. I don't have my bow and arrow. And Dick, you're okay back there. So here I am. Hi, laddie. So here's my arrow, and I'm gonna get that target. So I'm falling short. Now, that represented the person who's kind of just trying to get their bearings on life. Now I got a thicker, stronger. See, I'm getting stronger. I can do this. I'm gritting my teeth, and I'm trying to be good, and I'm trying to keep all those commandments, and man, I'm going to hold my mouth. And so, oh, Mark, I didn't miss the mark. I got the mark. How about that? Whoa. Mark my words, you ruthless man. Okay, so here now, I apparently missed the mark. Well, I missed my bullseye. But I got a bigger one now. I'm trying really hard. I'm going to Sunday school, and I'm not cussing anymore. And I'm not drinking or dancing or chewing or going out with girls who do. And I'm trying to be really morally and upright, but I'm not trusting Christ. Here. Chris, that's yours, buddy.
Thanks.
No problem. Okay, so I missed the mark also. And it does, and I will, because the Bible says I am. Bible scriptures say without Christ, we will miss the mark every time. Every time. We can't do it. You can't do it. If you want to just take one thing from me today, just say, you can't do this. Channels only can do this. That is the only thing. A new commandment. What is so new about Jesus telling these people, his apostles, to love one another? Why is that actually new? Well, actually, it is new. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Where is that found? Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19. Guess how many times that's found in the Old Testament? Love thy neighbor as thyself. One time. But it's found nine times in the New Testament, but each time it points back, referring to Leviticus. One time that's found in the Old Testament. To love thy neighbor as thyself. Christ said, love one another as I have loved you. He's ratcheting up the requirements. Not for me to love you, but for me to love you as Christ has loved me. Not love your neighbor as yourself. That's complete. It's a whole different equation. It makes it a whole lot tougher. It makes it all should say, I can't do this. I really can't do this. Only a channel can do this. We should be frustrated. So remember, the answer is in 15:5. Apart from me, you can't do nothing, but in the vine you bear much fruit. Channels can do this, but apart from that channel, you can't do this. I recall, I might have shared before, my brother, when he became a Christian, we were living in Naples, Italy, and my dad was stationed there in the Navy, and my brother graduated from high school, and he wanted to go tear up the continent, you know, the whole thing. And he came back a different man. He was saved through Operation Mobilization. And he came back really changed. It was really weird, and I might have shared before, that I was curious about this change, and so I would look at his letters, and I would look in his diary, and I want to find out what's going on. And I noticed that he actually likes these people. He loves these people. There's something going on I didn't understand at the time, but I was sensing that there's a connection and a love he has for these people he's writing back and forth to. He's changed. This is really different. And I realized, I can't do that. It kind of discouraged me because I realized I can't do that, so I guess I can't be it. This what he is. Believe all this stuff. But I didn't know at the time what I'm saying now. That of course I can't do it. I can't. I wasn't a channel. I didn't believe in Christ. I did not know that through Christ I could have done what my brother was doing at the time. But that's another story. It wasn't my time. God was patient with me. In this, he says, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. See, in this message that he's giving to these men to love one another, there's a difference in the content. Love one another as I have loved you. That's a whole different content. It occurs twice in the New Testament. Next time is in chapter 15. The rest of the Bible has to do with, especially in the New Testament, is love one another. Love one another. Love one another. But right here, he's ratcheting it up. Love one another as I have loved you, which should cause us to all say, you can't do this. Channels only can do this. All men will know that you are my disciples by your Galilean accent. Oh, well, one did. Somebody figured Peter was his follower, you know, that bad night. I could tell you one of his because of your accent. We don't have that Galilean accent. All men will know that you are my disciples by your bumper stickers. All men will know that you are my disciples by the jewelry, little crosses that you wear. Or all men will know you're my disciples by the music station that's on your radio. I don't know. I don't think so. I could be wrong now, but I don't think so. All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, there's a difference in this commandment in the content, as I have loved you, and in the purpose. There's a purpose for this. Is Christ just telling us to love one another because it's good for us, and that all men will know that are my disciples because you love one another? Just share a few more minutes and then we're done. Okay. As I read the scriptures and as you read them, there's this, what was it, Scroggy. Graham Scroggy wrote a book, The Unfolding Drama of Redemption, in this Bible from A to the back of it, A to Z. And it points to Christ, as Jesus said to the apostles or the followers in Emmaus. And starting with Moses and the prophets and all the writings, he described in those books, Old Testament, what was written concerning him. See, these words capture the person of Christ, and ultimately, according to the scriptures, as I read it, in Corinthians and Ephesians, Philippians, There is a place for Christ to receive honor and glory here, now, today, and in eternity. That's the goal. That's the reward, as the Father rewards him for his submission and obedience to the cross. There's a reward. And the honor and glory that comes to Christ in this life right now and in the next life is what I see in the scriptures for the present and for the future. So our loving each other brings Christ glory and honor. Did you know that? I mean, if you want to bring glory to Christ, if it's important to you that Christ gets glory and honor, then love each other. Now, that validates the fact that Christ has called you and is doing some work in your life. It validates that. And that's important to Christ. Because in the church, he's the head. And the rest of us are down here working together. We're knit together. Okay? So as we love each other, it brings validation that Christ has done something in your life. You actually love the other people. And someone said, boy, you know, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you don't sense that you love the other Christians, time to reflect. Time to do some reflection, because that should be the automatic. You should just want to hang out with Christians. Even though some stuff we do to each other is repelling and ghastly and kind of odd, there's still something there that you sense that you want to be with these people who follow Jesus. There's the Holy Spirit in you compels you to want to be with these people because there's a commonality you have. Okay, that's that. So there's some apologetics here that Christ is trying to do. In chapter 17, there's another portion of this that I'd like to mention. He talks about, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me. So the unity that this love engenders and creates, this unity validates the fact that God has sent Jesus. You see, that validates who he is, his claims. So if we're really interested in honoring Christ and bringing glory to him, we love each other. We're patient with each other. We do little things for each other. That validates that Christ is in us, creates unity, which validates Christ's claim that he is the Messiah, which people who know that are really happy for that, and that brings glory to him. Okay. Let's finish the story about Gene and the tacos. So after Gilbert gave his message, it was very practical, and that message had a very practical effect on our friend Gene. So afterwards, he said, well, I'll see you later, Gene. We'll see you next week. Good luck on the game. You know, that's fine. I was not happy. As they say, menos burros, más elotes, right? Less donkeys, more corn. I saved a couple bucks without Gene coming. So on the way, he said, well, you know what? I'm going to go with you guys. He said, friends are more important than basketball. And that was really cool. I remember that. I remember that all week. And so I asked him, can I share that on Sunday? He said, well, you know, he kind of hit me with his cane, I guess. But friends are more important than taco, you know, friendship are more important than the basketball game. I thought, that's good. Gene won the battle of the tacos. And that was cool. I really liked that because he heard the message. You know, the message comes through the speaker. The Holy Spirit takes it, applies it to the person who hears, and something good comes out of that. That's what happened that morning. I don't know if we saw it happening. I didn't. And then till he tells me. But that was really nice, and I really like that. And it makes me think of a number. And some of you may remember this number, and I'm going to give it out. 10,455. What was that number? That was 10,455. Let's round it out to 10,500. That was essentially how many battles there were in the Civil War. Now, there were 50 major engagements, and some of you might be able to mention 10 or 12, and there were about 100 ones that had significance, but there were 10,500. All potentially lethal, all involved people involved in the struggle. 10,500. And, you know, our lives are kind of like that. I did the math on that, and I figure, give it 70 years, 10,500 divided by 70, I think it was 120. So in 70 years, we might have 120 battles in our lives with each other. Have you had 120 this year yet with somebody or with all of us or me with you? Or I'm responsible for some of those battles, I'm sure. But they're yours to keep. They're yours to fight. You own those battles. And Gene won his battle with the tacos. Good on you, lad. And that was beautiful. And we have those all the time. As soon as we leave here, you're going to have a battle. I guarantee you that. You're going to have that battle. But if honoring Christ in your life is important to you and bringing him glory, then you can't do this. You can't win this battle. I challenge you and I urge you to understand that and not live a frustrated life as you go through these battles, but to find yourself communing with Christ. I don't know how that looks. I don't know what it's going to take, but you need to abide in Christ. You need to be in the vine, be drawing your nourishment from him, being a channel for that, because that battle will challenge you. I'm challenged every week in my chores around the house. And I know when I'm losing ground. I know when I'm getting resentful and angry. I know these things. And I say, okay. This is me. This is high. It's not good. It's time to reset. Time to reset. I've got to be a channel. That's the only way I can do this. And folks, guess what? You can't do this. Only channels can do this. And I'm done. Go and be channels. I think we have one more song. I'm going to pray. Dan and Linda, I believe, are going to sing a song to kind of send this home. Lord Jesus, we are here because we realize that we are needy people. And if there are those who are here who have not yet come to a repentant state before you and find themselves forgiven and understanding that they are now able to live a life through you and not on their own accord, I pray that you'll take these words, your Holy Spirit can convict them of their sin of being separate from you. But then also, Father God, show them the forgiveness and the beauty of the grace and the work that you gave on the cross on their behalf, that they are whole in you, that they are one in you. And for those of us who do know you, we apologize. We ask for forgiveness for trying to live this life in our own strength, our own abilities. And no wonder we're frustrated and get angry and resentful. It's not a surprise. So we take this time off this morning, just a few minutes, to reacquaint ourselves with what you already told us. We must love through you. We can't do this apart from you. We know that. So we renew the covenant, as it were, before you as your people. We ask you now that we may be channels, that the world may know that you are our master, and we are your disciples. We thank you now in Christ's name for your word. Amen.